What is going on with BC's safe supply program? Lately, there's been a lot of discussion about how safe it is, or more specifically, I should say, where some of that safe supply is actually ending up. So this new scrutiny is coming from several different directions, including a group of addiction experts who sent a letter to Dr. Bonnie Henry outlining concerns. So we know that the Minister of Mental Health, Jennifer Whiteside, and Dr. Bonnie Henry have launched a review of the province's safe supply program in light of the concerns. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this because we're also hearing that the federal Minister of Mental Health and Addictions has also launched a probe into the efficacy of this safe supply program because of all these concerns, right? Well, Dr. Meldon Kahn is with us now, an associate professor of family medicine at the University of Toronto, medical director of the substance use service at Women's College Hospital. Dr. Kahn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
What are your concerns with this?
Well, there's a number of reports that take-home hydromorphone is being diverted or sold, not just to people who use fentanyl, but to youth, to people on opiate agonist therapy, and other people who are naive or who are not regular opiate users. Just to back up a second, the common practice in safe supply programs is to prescribe large doses of take-home hydromorphone tablets, up to 24, 30 a day, to take home for patients to use, to inject, or to sell. And it looks like selling is quite common. And so if a young person who is not a regular opiate user starts to use take-home hydromorphone, this is actually very dangerous. There is good evidence from older studies that patients, young people who have access to prescription opiates are likely to start injecting them and are likely to proceed to more powerful opiates such as heroin and fentanyl. And we believe that is happening here. And also people who inject take-home hydromorphone tablets are at high risk for bacterial infections. So we think that the safe supply programs are contributing to harm and to risk for the public.
Okay, so how did, in your opinion, in your view, how did this happen? Were there not proper safeguards put in place? I mean, obviously the idea was there, the idea was good, but what has gone wrong?
Well, I think this is a radical new form of treatment or of delivery of opiate medication. It's completely contrary to established practice in opiate agonist treatment programs. Powerful opiates such as methadone or slow-release oral morphine are dispensed under supervision. So they have taken a radical new step in order to, prevent people from using fentanyl or as an alternative to fentanyl. But this was done with no oversight and no accountability. There is no comparison of safe supply to the standard treatment, which is opiate agonist therapy, even though opiate agonist therapy has powerful and compelling evidence that it reduces overdose death and it reduces harm. There is no look at the harms of diversion. All they did in looking at diversion was do these qualitative studies, which were essentially marketing studies, where people who sold hydromorphone were saying that they were doing it just for good reasons to prevent people from using fentanyl. But they didn't look at the impact of diversion of hydromorphone on hospitalizations or on transitioning youth from prescription opiates to injection opiates to fentanyl.
Do you think
so? It was done with an abdication of responsibility on the part of public health authorities.
But do you think there has been so much pressure on health authorities to do something, right? There is almost a sense of desperation that they have to do something about these opioid overdoses. Isn't that where this was coming from?
Oh, absolutely. You're right. This is by far the most serious public health emergency of our generation, and I'm including COVID in that. This is a very, very serious public health crisis, and it's getting worse. So public health authorities should do something about it. So I would suggest that they have ignored two things. One is to introduce safe supply with appropriate guards so that safe supply is actually safe and doesn't harm the public. That would include, for example, ensuring that take-home hydromorphone doses are not take-home, that they are supervised until the patient is stable. The other is that safe supply should be combined with opiate agonist therapy, which will markedly reduce the need for large numbers of tablets and will also prevent diversion. And the third is coordination of care between OAT providers and safe supply providers so that people are not dropping out of OAT to go on to safe supply. Finally, there's a need to tremendously strengthen the opiate agonist treatment system. This is the mainstay of harm reduction, of preventing overdose deaths. There's very compelling evidence for that. But the retention rates and access to OAT treatment are low, and they need strengthening. There needs to be innovative medication protocols, such as greater use of extended-release buprenorphine. There needs to be sure that everyone who presents to the emergency department or hospital or withdrawal management service has access on-site and immediately to evidence-based opiate agonist treatment. So these are some steps that need to be taken, whereas the BC government has simply put all their eggs in this one basket with safe supply, without proper oversight, and without proper study.
Is this salvageable then? I mean, I know you described a few things there, but how soon? We have to do this soon, it would seem like, before the tide completely turns.
This is totally salvageable. Well, nobody's saying that they should just get rid of safe supply programs. They're just saying that they should be based on evidence and they should have precautions to minimize diversion and unsupervised injection. So the programs should ensure that hydromorphone is dispensed under supervision at a pharmacy, that it is combined with opiate agonist medications such as methadone, and that there is coordination of care with OAT providers. And also that there needs to be efforts to strengthen the OAT system. All these things are practical and evidence-based, and they're not particularly expensive.
Do you see any evidence, though, that we're headed down the road to do those things?
No. Well, I mean, I was very heartened to hear what you said, that there are these reviews taking place, so we'll see how those reviews are. But otherwise, and I would say that in BC and Health Canada, they've taken, I think, the wrong path, but other provinces, I think, are more prudent and are taking more evidence-based steps. For example, Alberta's Virtual Opiate Dependency Program is a wonderful program. It allows access to opiate agonist treatment, same-day opiate agonist treatment in rural areas, in communities, in emergency departments, and so on. And it's been highly successful in engaging people in OAT.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, the numbers in BC, though, we've had a public health emergency here longer than other provinces have. Like, we've got, a bigger problem.
You do. You're a bigger province. But what I'm saying is that safe supply is fueling the problem. And there is no evidence that it's actually turning things around. So it needs to be more evidence-based. It needs to be safer for the public. Let's not forget the terrible OxyContin crisis that was in the late 90s and 2000s. That was fueled primarily by diverted OxyContin. Patients were prescribed OxyContin. They sold it to other non-patients who injected it and died. And the same thing is happening with safe supply. We need to make safe supply safe, just like we made OxyContin safe by ensuring that there was more prudent prescribing of it.
I know that took a while, though, didn't it? Dr. Kahan, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you.
That's Dr. Meldon Kahan, an associate professor of family medicine at the University of Toronto and medical director of the substance use service at Women's College Hospital, saying that, you know, BC in particular and the federal government overall really needs to tighten up the safer supply program, make some changes. And I know there have been lots of concerns here in BC. We've talked about them. And yes, there is a review going on, but will that result in some of the changes, such as the ones that Dr. Kahan talked about there? If you want to weigh in, simi@cknw.com.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.